So hopefully, as you picked up, we're looking at the theme of self-understanding or self-awareness. I didn't quite know what to call it. Self-awareness, self-understanding, one of the two. That's what we're thinking about today. And I guess this is a talk as much as it is to myself as it is to anybody else that's joined us today. I have a feeling, I woke up with this feeling this morning that I'm probably by some distance the least amongst brothers and sisters that I'm with today. So I just want to just kind of put that out there in front. Nonetheless, I guess I'm speaking as one who wants to better glorify God and live as one of his followers, as well as a minister of the gospel. With a greater awareness of who I am, of myself, of both my giftings as well as my brokenness as a person. Could I just ask that we make sure we put ourselves on mute if we're not talking, because I'm getting a little bit of feedback, I think, from somewhere. So speaking out of a sense of my giftedness as well as my brokenness as a person. So I want to address two senses of self-awareness or self-understanding today. But first of all, the scriptures. I'm an evangelical, so you'd expect me to start with God's word. So first of all, a little story from Luke chapter 9. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it and were afraid to ask him about it. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. And then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For it is the one who is least among you who is the greatest." So it's our first story. The second is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 p.m, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he'd be put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking them by the right hand, he helped them up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate before called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So, two stories from the Bible. The first story, Jesus knew these disciples and knew their thoughts. The disciples knew what they were thinking, but I'm not sure that they had very much clear understanding of themselves. An argument had broken out. They wanted to be the greatest. The second story, Peter and John knew themselves in relationship to God, and they lived out of that understanding, out of that relationship, and they brought their gift that God had deposited within them. And the man was healed and praised and glorified God in the same way. David, could I have my PowerPoint displayed if that's possible? Starting from the first screen. Is it going to work? Is it easier for me? No, fantastic. We're going. Great. So, who are you? And so in these two stories, I think there are perhaps two aspects of self-understanding that are going on. Who am I in relation to God? And what is clearly still in need of restoration? The disciples had some sense of understanding, but something had gone wrong. And there was still some brokenness that they weren't aware of within themselves. And the second aspect of self-understanding is, what has God deposited in me? And what has formed me for that, in terms of what God has given me as his gifting? And how might I express that out into the world and in my church community as well? What is this gift that God has given, and how might I express it into my church community? So going on to the next slide, David. So a bit of a disclaimer from me at this point. As I moved into some of this stuff, and I was dealing with some of this stuff, particularly last year and in the year before, actually. And I discovered there's plenty about myself that when I look at it, I don't like very much. There's lots in me that I'm not really very proud of. There's stuff that's not very pleasant. And to be honest, as I've gone through my life, I've had seasons when I've become more aware of that stuff that isn't very pleasant about me as a person. So I want to encourage you that if you are moving into this area of self-awareness or self-understanding, that to have people accompany you in it is really helpful, as well as the Holy Spirit. Have people accompany you in this stuff. In Luke chapter 9, the disciples clearly intended something by their question to Jesus, and their intention was to identify who was the greatest. This was their desire. We all intend something by our lives. My life describes something, for better or for worse. And for us in ministry, that intention should probably have some discernible reference to God and his intentions for us as disciples. And we might want to use terms like, we've been called to a holy and sanctified life. That sounds very grand, doesn't it? But it describes our life, and our lives have an intention which says something to the world. St. Augustine said, "O God, who art ever the same, let me know myself and let me know thee." Our speaking and our acting, our doing and our being, interpret what we understand about ourselves in relationship to God. And as ministers of the gospel, as church leaders, we should welcome this analysis or this reflection on ourselves, because the fruit of it is that we might share in God's glory as his children and his heirs and his ambassadors, and that we might also walk with others into that glory and that understanding as well. But we know that this reflection is hard. We place ourselves in a situation which will be difficult, where we'll have to grapple with some stuff that is perhaps not so good, not so nice. But we do so as those who are in the hands of God. And as we understand this reflection, as we undertake this reflection, and we come into a greater knowledge of ourselves, we do so as those who know that God is faithful, trustworthy, compassionate, kind, forgiving, just, loving, and gracious. We place ourselves into that God's hands as we look at ourselves. And so we can face ourselves with a truthful honesty. I want to suggest to you that in part, ministry is the task of reshaping our lives and living our lives out in front of others. We must search the very depths of who we are. And so face perhaps some fairly hideous features of the landscape of our lives. And that's hard. And yet we do this as part of our vocation. And we do it so that we might not have so much pretense before God and our neighbour. We open our lives before others, and we do so in the knowledge that we are in God's hands. And as we do this work of self-awareness or self-understanding, we become aware of unacknowledged fears, anxieties. We become aware of false narratives, unknown biases, skewed intentions, our own agendas. But I believe that as we do this work, we become more useful vessels for the gospel and for the grace of our Lord Jesus. It's hard work, and we do it in the midst of running our churches as well, as some people like to think that we should be doing. We are asked to run our churches, but also to search the very depths of who we are. And we do that in front of others. We're called to wrestle with who we are in front of other people who are called to lead. And even more than that, we're called to accompany others in this task as well. So if anybody says to you that ministry is easy, and that you only work one day a week, don't you? And you should just get on with it, suck it up, take it on the chin. Then I want to suggest to you that you can come back to them and say, actually, perhaps this is one of the most important but difficult tasks that anybody could have in life. So David, if we could go on to the next slide. So what are the resources that help us to do this? What resources do we have available to help us in this self-awareness or self-understanding, in this reflection that is an essential part of what it means to be a minister of the gospel? Well, I think there are six things that I came up with, and I'm sure that you guys could come up with yet more. There's theological study. Obviously, we must give ourselves to theological study. I'm not going to say much more about that because we are people who have done theological studying. But I want to suggest that also there's the resource of doubt as well. When a congregation understands that their minister proclaims a faith that has wrestled with a God that is mysterious, and to some extent, both knowable and unknowable, then that minister will have something more to give to their congregation. Doubt is an honesty that is to be shared with a congregation as well. Spurgeon himself said, "I must confess here with sorrow that I have seasons of despondency and depression of spirit, which I trust none of you are called to suffer. And at such times I have doubted my interest in Christ, my calling, my election, my perseverance, my Saviour's blood, and my Father's love." It seems that Spurgeon doubted pretty much everything. So we had the resource of theological study, of doubt, and of imagination as well. Read some novels, watch some movies, go into the world and experience some of it. Go to museums, to art galleries, Walk in nature. Use your imagination as well. Prayer is fairly obvious, I guess, and I won't say anything more about that now. Psychological analysis. I found this really helpful. And there are various resources that you can go to in terms of analyzing and understanding yourself. For me, last year, I engaged with some work around the fivefold ministries profile. I found that really helpful, helping me to identify a gifting in the area of apostleship, the prophetic and the evangelistic, particularly as being areas that God has gifted me in. There are other resources that you can go to, and I have some tentativeness about them, but I can see their value. There's things like Myers-Briggs, Enneagram, EPQ testing. I wouldn't dismiss any of those as being useful things for us to engage in. And then finally, have a pastor. Us as pastors need pastors. And if you don't have one, I'd encourage you to get one. Whether you call that a pastoral supervisor, a spiritual director, or a friend who's a pastor, get a pastor that pastors you in ministry. I found that enormously helpful to walk with my pastor, particularly side by side, physically walking side by side, and chewing over the nature of the spiritual life and of ministry as well. So there is my thoughts and understandings on self-awareness and self-understanding. We're going to take the time to move off into some breakout groups now to spend a little bit of time reflecting on this. And there are some questions. David, are you able to post those questions in the chat? Or put them back up onto the screen. One of the final slides is the questions themselves that you could take a photo of, if that's helpful. Well,
I'm getting there. Is how many buttons I have to press to get there.
We appreciate what you're doing to help us out, David. It's really helpful.
Fine, it's just...
Fantastic. So I put four questions together to help us to reflect. What are the barriers to self-understanding and awareness? What have we faced ourselves and understood something more? When we have faced ourselves even and understood something more of who we are, what have been some of the fruits of that? And what resources for self-awareness and self-understanding have we used? And why have they been helpful, useful? And then self-understanding awareness is a lifelong task. How have we sustained ourselves in this task? Some of us have been in ministry for a long time. What sustained us in this task of self-awareness? Fantastic. Good to have you back. I hope that was a good time together. We had a good time here in the room. I thought I might give you a little bit of a view of who's here with me in the room. So there you go. All wave. There you go. So I've got some friends to talk to, so it's always nice, isn't it? have people to talk to instead of talking to yourself. I don't know who wants to go first in terms of maybe giving some feedback. What was said in your groups, any kind of insights that were helpful, any thoughts? Penny, Paul, anything you want to bring?
Well, I said to my room that everybody can contribute because I wasn't making any notes. So, and when you get to my age, you tend to forget what you've been talking about in the last 30 seconds. I do seem to remember that looking at the sort of the first question, it's one of the barriers to self-understanding and awareness was making the time to do it, actually. And then when you've made the time to do it, to have that time, you know, focused, because so often it's very easy, if you're by yourself, you just drift off into, what you're going to buy at the supermarket when you go there later on today type thing. So it's making the time. And then if you've got the time yourself, how are you going to use that time so you don't wander off to do in your brain to do other things? And that's why we thought often it's far better to have a good friend with you, not just to throw things at, but to have interaction with. So somebody who knows, who's in ministry probably, who knows what it's like, where you can have a good friend, where you can be honest, you can laugh at things that, you know, you shouldn't laugh at, you know, in ministry, to the congregation. So someone like that. So it's time, being focused, and having you know, someone there to ensure that you keep on track when you are trying to look at yourself, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Paul. That's really helpful. We had a similar reflection here in the room as well about that, about how, you know, the tasks of running a church can be consuming, but that gonna you have to press out beyond that to find kind of a regular rhythm of reflection, of coming into greater awareness of yourself. And I think there's probably some sense in some senses that your congregation will be much richer if you mine out that pattern, if you establish that pattern of self-awareness and reflection. Perhaps the congregation will know if you don't do it as well. It will bear its fruit in a negative way as well if you don't do it. So yeah. Cool. Thanks, Paul. Penny, I don't know if there's anything.
Yeah. I think similar. I think we were quite blunt actually. Also, we said sometimes laziness, stubbornness, fear and vulnerability, all of those things actually can play a part as well. And also because churches can have certain expectations of us. Again, I think it's reflected, it's better not to do this, or it's harder sometimes to do this if you do it in the context of your church, but to do it alongside others really helps, because church can sometimes not feel such a safe place for us as ministers. But yeah, then we reflected on just the benefits of that and the kind of fruit of, you know, feeling a relief actually to know who we are and what we're not, and how that can then play out in team. Somebody commented when we were talking about tools, the bell bin, if you're aware of the team, the nine team roles, has, you know, strengths, but also acceptable weaknesses, and actually how that is quite a helpful reflection, because it's, if you weren't strong in one area, inevitably you will be weaker in this area, but that's where you need team and others. And just how the release and freedom can actually come from knowing ourselves better in that. And somebody summed up at the end really helpfully, it comes down to knowing who we are in Christ.
Yeah. And sometimes we need people to tell us who we are in Christ as well, don't we?
Yeah, exactly.
It was helpful to have that, isn't it? So, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I've got a delivery. Somebody's shouting at me.
No worries. See you, Penny. I think there were some similar kinds of reflections. We did spend a little bit of time reflecting on this idea of imagination as a useful tool in terms of self-understanding and self-awareness. I myself particularly I've found reading some secular books, if you might want to call them that. Sacred secular divide is not so helpful, is it but what might be, for want of a better term, be called that, and just how that's, I found that reflection really helpful in my own understanding of myself in ministry. So to mine the resources of both scripture, but also to mine the resources of other places as well, and hold those together, not to bring other resources in up into the same kind of value as scripture is, but to recognize that there is some value and God can work through those other things as well. We were reflecting on, my colleague Steve went to a movie this week. It wasn't Top Gun Maverick, which everybody seems to be seeing at the moment. But what was it called, Steve, again?
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. So anyway, it's a sort of absurdist type of movie. And actually, Steve found it a bit discombobulating. So not everything that we might engage with in terms of our imaginations might be helpful. But so it's a case of being discerning, sifting some stuff as well, just to make sure that we're kind of careful at times about what it is that we're engaging with and taking into ourselves as well. I don't know if anybody's got any other resources that they've found helpful in terms of self-awareness and self-understanding that they're particularly aware of, they've shared.
I'm not sure this book could appeal to you chaps, but it's called Sensible Shoes. And it follows four women who end up going through spiritual direction, and they're kind of collide. So it's written as a narrative, you know, it's a story, but actually they go through some really deep stuff and the spiritual principles all the way through it. So it's, again, it captures imagination, but actually if you integrate with it, it can get quite deep. Oh, I really relate to that. So that's the tool I'm finding. I'm working through that at the moment.
Okay. What's that called again, Penny?
Sensible Shoes. I can't remember the author. It's on Amazon. But it is for women, so, you know, it might not appeal to everybody on the screen at the moment, but it's okay. That's good.
No, it's useful because I guess some of these things that we learn here and learn about here, we can take into other contexts as well. So it's about resourcing each other for ministry. So that might be something that we could share with a friend, a colleague, somebody in another church, etc. So yeah, absolutely. David, if you go to my last slide that's got some resources on it, then I'll just share some resources with people as well. So these are some of the resources that I've come across and engaged with and found helpful and useful. I've mentioned already the Fivefold Ministry, and there's a website that you can go to called Fivefold Ministry that has a couple of tests on if you're into that kind of thing, and gives some helpfulness around understanding who we are as apostles, evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, as well. And I'd really I'd really encourage engagement with that. I know Kate, who's here in the room with me, has done some work on that as well herself, and found it useful. And there's reading that can be done around it. So really would encourage that. There's also the Emotionally Healthy Resources. That includes Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, Spirituality, and Church. I think those are all of them. And Friendship, yeah. And so Pete Scazzero, from New York in the States, and we both really helpful for individuals, and I would really encourage that in terms of our own individual ministries, but also resources for whole churches as well. And we here in Bookham have been engaged in these resources and found them really helpful, both in terms of preaching, small group life, as well as one-to-one discipleship. So worthwhile investigating Emotionally Healthy stuff. Renovare is really good stuff, been around for a long time. Drawing a lot of the work of Dallas Willard, with books such as Renovation of the Heart. So one of the resources that they promote is something called the Cycle of Grace, which we again here have done here in Bookham and found really useful as well. To be doing both on a personal level, but also to work with when you're working with others in discipleship as well. It's worthwhile looking at that kind of stuff. So Renovare, they offer courses, they offer groups for self-awareness, self-understanding, spiritual direction, that kind of stuff as well. And then finally, there's Practicing the Way, which is a resource that's come from Bridgetown Church, which is in Portland, in Oregon, which is led by John Mark Comer. And so it really, that's a new and growing resource for both personal discipleship as well as for whole churches to use as well. And really trying to pick up on some of the historic spiritual disciplines and how those can be useful for as well. So I'd really recommend all of those. If anybody's got anything else that they enjoy and finds helpful, then pop those into the chat, and that would be it's great to share things that have been really helpful and we've used in our own experiences or in ministry as well. Fantastic. So we've got Liz put in Ruth Haley Barton books and website. Okay, not come across that myself, but fantastic. Thanks, Liz, for that that referral as well. I don't know, Penny, if you can post the details in the chat of the resources that you were mentioning as well. Has anybody got anything else they'd like to kind of reference to us, draw our attention to? No? Okay, cool. I'm going to pray for us as we draw to a close. Now, really grateful for you having joined us today. It's really, really good. This is the last of a series of three Zoom gatherings, and we'll see whether we kind of press ahead with some more of these into the future. But if we do, that'll be in the autumn. We'll kind of reflect on that as network ministers, as CIVA leadership team as well, and see whether we want to keep investing in this into the future.